Well, it's good to be in the Lord's house tonight. Amen. God sure has been good to us. And he asked me to sing a song, so I'm going to do my best. And I'm glad he's never let me down. Amen. God's never let me down. He's always been faithful. Amen. Looking down through the years, the heartaches and tears, the Lord has never once let me down. Though I don't understand, still I trust in His plan. For He said His grace would abound, and there's no need to doubt Him now. He'll make a way somehow, safely this far. Jesus has brought you, there's no need to doubt Him now. Child of God, have no fear, though your past seems unclear. Someday God's plan will unfold. He has never ever failed, He will always prevail. For the Lord is still in control, and there's no need to doubt Him now. He'll make a way somehow, safely this far. Jesus has brought you, there's no need to doubt Him now. Glad He's always been faithful. Amen. Never once let me down. And all that song does is just prove that Jesus for sunny days, Jesus for rainy days, Jesus in high times, Jesus in low times, He's always there for us, church. He's always there for us. I'm glad I have Him. I'm glad I have Him. Amen. Amen. Let's look this evening in Luke chapter number 7 is where we're going to be. Brother Revis asked me to come preach, and I'm going to preach the freshest thing on my heart. Amen. And so you pray for me this evening. And back a little while ago, I preached at the church, I thought out of this chapter. And I was telling them that I got to looking a little bit more at it, and it started to grow a little more. So it's a blessing when that happens, especially when you're a preacher. Amen. And a Sunday school teacher, and you get to studying the Word of God, and God begins to open it up to you. That's a blessing. It's a blessing. It's amazing. You begin to study, and God will give you something that you've read over many times. You go back to it, and He feeds you even more out of it. That's a blessing. Amen. That's living Word of God. Amen. We serve a good God. Amen. I believe this is where the Lord wants us tonight. Luke 7, and can I say, if we could live out that song, we'd have it made. We'd have it made. We'd live out the words of that song. We wouldn't have to deal with so much pressure and discouragement and despair. It'd be all right if we could just learn the truths of the songs that we sing. We could just learn the truths of them. But Luke chapter 7, we're going to read verse number 18 through verse number 23 or so. For the context of the chapter, I'm going to bring you up to speed on what's going on. Jesus has been doing amazing things. And can I say, that's exactly what Jesus does. Amen. He's been doing amazing things. Jesus, He has healed the servant of the centurion there, the first part of the chapter. He didn't even have to go there. Jesus said, because it's done because of His great faith. He went to this town called Nain there in verse number 11. He interrupts a funeral service. And Jesus is just bad about making dead things to live again, ain't he? He's just bad about it. Every time He went to a funeral, that's what happened. He just ruined the funeral because that was dead began to live again. But that dead body there began to live again. The disciples of John, they've witnessed this. They're stirred up about it. I mean, they are stirred up. They're fired up. But John the Baptist is in prison at this time, church. We all know that this is the man that said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." He was the man who baptized the Word that was made flesh. He got to be a witness to the Trinity. Imagine that. God the Father speaking. God the Holy Ghost descending from heaven like a dove. And God the Son being right there in the River Jordan.
John preached all over the country. We know that. He declared, make his way straight, that the Lord is coming. But now, John's in prison. Look in verse number 18 with me. It said, and the disciples of John showed him all these things. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? Interesting. When the men were coming to him, they said, John Baptist has sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto him, he said, go your way. Tell John what things you've seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. Look at verse 23. It said, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. I want to draw your attention to the question that John the Baptist asked of his disciples. He said, I want you to go. He said, I want you to talk to Jesus. Would you just ask him, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? Now wait a minute. I can hear them as they're, and see them as they're standing there in confusion, saying, you, John, you're the one that told us that it was him. You've been preaching about him to the whole world. What are you talking about? You're the one who stuck your finger on the end of Herod's nose and called out his sin. And now, because of John's circumstance, because of his placement in life at this time, because of his expectation of God did not measure up to God's plan for his life, what he thought, he begins to doubt. I'm not sure if that's him or not. I'm not sure. Now, he didn't lose faith in God. Don't go bashing him. He didn't lose faith in God, but he lost faith in God. You say, what do you mean? He didn't lose faith in the fact that God was alive. He lost faith in the activity of God. For a little while this evening, I want to preach on there's no need to doubt him now. There's no need to doubt him now. Let's pray and ask God to help us. God, I need your power this evening. I need your touch. I pray that you'd help your people just for a little while this evening. God, I pray more than anything that you would help someone this evening. Lord, touch us in Jesus' name. Amen. For all practical purposes, I believe, I don't know many of us here this evening. I know a few of you. But I believe that this crowd here this evening is predominantly made up of people who believe that God is real. Can I hear an amen? Amen? We just don't battle when it comes to that fact. We're not part of the crowd that believes in a big catastrophe that started everything. At least I hope not. Amen? I was teaching the kids on our bus ministry just a couple Wednesday nights ago. There is just so many different misconceptions about how this world is put into existence. We don't think that we come out of nowhere, pulled out of somewhere, and now nobody can explain how we got here. We just don't believe it. We're not that crowd. Amen? We're not the crowd that visits a zoo for their family reunions. Amen. Somebody help me right there. Amen. B.R. Lakin used to say, we don't pray our Father which art in a coconut tree swinging by thy tail. That's just not us. It's not us. We're not of the crowd that's so overeducated to the point of complete ignorance to say that our beautiful world is one of the happiest accidents that has ever occurred. Amen. It's amazing to think that the academic experts of this world will tell you that a painting cannot just happen, or a building cannot just happen, or a symphony cannot just happen, or a baby cannot just happen. But yet they would call you and I crazy because we don't believe that this world could just happen. We don't put our faith this evening in a big bang or a big boom or a big blunder. We believe in a big holy God that in the beginning created all that is. Amen? Now the majority of us here would agree that without question that there is a God that resides in heaven. Amen? And one day he will reign on this earth. What a day that will be. And he is the reason for all that we can see and all that we cannot see. We could say it like this. We all have faith in the existence of God. We believe that God is. Amen? But though we believe that God is, I want to ask you this. You have faith in God that he is, but how is your faith in what God is doing in your life right now? We have faith that God can sculpt galaxies from nothing. But do you have faith that God can guide your next step in this life? Amen? We have faith that God can pull mountains out from up from the dust of the ground. But do we have faith in God enough that he can put food on our table tomorrow? We have faith that God created every beast of the field, every bird of the air, and every fish of the sea. But do we have enough faith in God to believe that God is aware of us and that he will take care of our needs? The truth of God is a wonderful truth. But does our faith remain as strong when we change the subject from having faith in God's being to having faith in what God is doing? I was meditating on this in my own life as I was studying, and I have to be honest, and I believe that I've concluded that it is far easier for me to have faith in God's existence than it is to have faith in what God is doing in my life. I do not hesitate to stand here this evening and declare that I have faith in Genesis chapter 1. I believe it's true. I don't ask any questions about it. I believe in God. But I do have trouble sometimes believing and trusting in what God is providentially doing in my life. I guess I could say like this, at least for me anyways, often I have faith in God and doubt in God at the same time. And please don't look at me sideways. We all have that same problem. Amen? Brother Evans, I have total faith that God is on his throne in heaven. I have total faith that God created this world. I have total faith, Brother Bob, that God saved my soul. I have total faith that one day I will be in heaven with him. But at times my total faith shares residency in the same heart with fear and trembling and doubt in what God is doing in my family, maybe in our church or in our country or in this generation that we're living in. I don't have to bring the newspaper up here to you this evening and bring it to the pulpit and read the headlines from around our world. Or we go down the road and visit Rome Medical Center to remind ourselves that life is uncertain and that life in this world, it is difficult. Things change so fast. And there are so many decisions that we have to make and things can just fall apart so easily. I was walking through a store the other day and I saw a shirt that said, "Life is easy." Whoever designed that shirt should get the Liar of the Millennium Award and then run for president and get the reward. It's crazy. Life's not easy. Life's not easy. Life is hard. And it's even harder when we understand this, that we're supposed to live by faith and not by sight. That's what I was teaching my kids the other night in the bus ministry. Faith is total dependence. Faith is utter reliance. It's total trust in God. It is stepping out with no reservations. Faith believes without seeing. Faith believes without understanding. Faith believes without knowing. And today I can say this, and I believe it's true. I have 100% faith in God. But at the same time, I battle frustration and the weakness of my flesh, and often I doubt that very same God. Philippians 4, verse number 6, my Bible says, "Be careful for nothing." That means that you and I, we're not supposed to worry our way through this life. But the truth of it is, all of us worry. We all worry. Now, fear and doubt is the antithesis of faith, the opposite of it. But the danger is this, church. Though the two are not compatible, they can cohabitate in the heart of a believer. Peter's a good illustration of one who exemplifies that. Peter was a man of great faith, except when he wasn't. Peter had great faith in God. Peter stepped out of the boat and began to walk on water. Then he sank and he doubted. Peter cut off a man's ear and then he denied the Lord, did he not? Peter wanted to charge hell with a water pistol filled with kerosene, except for when the Lord Jesus did not show up. Then he backslid and then he went fishing. And here's the problem that he exemplified, and the truth that he had faith in God that never wavered because he knew that he was real, but he had doubt in what God was doing in his life. Job did that, didn't he? Job was a man that loved God, hated evil. He was a just man. Never once did he doubt the fact that his Redeemer lived. He proclaimed that often. But you better believe it, he questioned what God was doing in his life when he had to bury his children. And it seemed that his life was just seemingly falling apart. Thomas was that way. Thomas was a preacher. He was a soul winner. He was a witness, a miracle worker, right there alongside Jesus. But he's known for what? He's known for his doubt. And here's the truth. You and I have to watch this. We can stand and say that we have faith in God. And immediately we turn around and say that we don't have faith in God and it be true. Here's what I'm saying, and it is possible because it happens to all of us, to possess great faith in God and yet great doubt in what God is doing in our lives at the same time. We sing that old hymn, living by faith, and feel so alarmed. No, it's no alarm. It's no alarm. If you and I are going to live a victorious Christian life in this world, you and I, we're going to have to anchor our faith in God. Have to anchor our faith in God. I don't mean re-anchor our faith in God that He exists, but I'm talking about the same faith we've placed in God for eternity and trusting Him with our today and our tomorrow. You have faith in God not only when it comes to your salvation, but you have to have faith in God when it comes to your family. You have to have faith in God when it comes to your physical being. You have to have faith in God when it comes to your life's decisions. You have to have faith in God in what's going on in our country. Amen? That's hard. That's hard. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. It's the victory that can overcome fear and frustration and doubt and despair. And I don't believe anyone here this evening would recant their faith in God. We wouldn't do that. We believe that God is. We're concrete on that. That's just all there is to it. But I can say that often we do struggle when it comes to having faith in what God is doing in our life. I believe that God is alive and well up there and never changes. Amen? But sometimes I wonder, what in the world is God doing down here? Y'all okay? I want to help you. Sometimes I wonder, God, what are you doing? What are you doing? I would sign my name to a declaration of faith and tell you that God is real this season. But there's days that my hand would quiver and tremble. My wrist would shake when I had to sign the dotted line saying that God is real and what He is doing in my life right now. How many Christians are there? They believe God. They have faith in God. But when the preacher preaches on the fact that God can guide your steps through this life and their life is a mess, sometimes our faith in God goes into doubt. They believe God, and the preacher preaches that God can restore your prodigal son, and they believe God for other things, but they have doubt in that area. Why? Because they have a prodigal son. I mean, they believe God. They trust Him. They believe God can heal. But I think about when those who have physical ailments, you know, they're afflicted with some disease, and then it turns over to fear, and it overtakes their faith. They doubt and say, I don't know if God can heal my family or not. It's easy to have faith in God that He can answer a prayer, church, until it's you that has prayed and prayed and prayed, and the answer has not come. And this is exactly what we do, church. It's exactly what we do. Man, this is a lot of personal preaching. Y'all pray for me. We say that God's in control with our spirit, and then our flesh says, I don't know if God's in control or not. My life don't seem like it's in control. I don't know. And when God doesn't measure up to what our expectation of God was, all of a sudden we begin to doubt, we fear, we get frustrated, we get backslid, and we say, I just don't know if God's in control or not. Church, things happen that we don't plan for. We don't plan disease. We don't plan a broken heart. We don't plan persecution. We sure didn't plan a pandemic. You didn't plan to be widowed. You didn't plan to jump from job to job. You didn't plan to have a friend forsake you. You didn't plan to love someone, get close to them, and then hurt you. You didn't plan your life like that. David didn't plan Absalom. Hezekiah did not plan sickness or disease in his life. Job sure didn't plan to bury his children. And when those things come into our lives, it overwhelms us and it causes us to doubt. It's easy to believe, but it's harder to have that same measure of faith, of having faith in God's plan for our lives. When His plan does not match our expectations, and there it is. At the same time, in the same heart can live these two things that cannot mix, but they can cohabitate. It's faith and fear, faith and doubt. You say, preacher, I wanted that job. God didn't give it to me. You begin to doubt Him. I just wanted to live a happy life. It just seems that God's made it hard. you begin to doubt God. I just wanted to be healthy, and it seems that I'm always sick. You doubt it. I just wanted to be successful in life. It seemed my life is just now falling apart. And it's then that seeds of doubt begin to grow in our heart. Amen. Let me say this to the songs that I've alluded to this evening. God's always been faithful. Amen. He always has been. He always will be. God has never been unfaithful. Amen. God is faithful. He always will be faithful. He'll never change. He's always come through for us, church. He's always made a way for us. He's always gotten the victory. God has always come out on top. But sometimes our flesh and our fickle spirit will look at what God is doing in our life, and doubt and fear creeps in. This is my heart tonight, church. Would you take that same measure of faith that you put in God for eternity and put it in your day-to-day walk with God? Would you take the same measure of faith that you're trusting God in for heaven and say, maybe God can guide my steps today? Church, we don't need to be practicing atheists and professing Christians. Amen? We don't need to go around and say, I believe God, and then live like there is no God. Circumstances don't determine God. Problems don't determine God. My dilemma does not determine God. God is always faithful. He abideth faithful. No matter what you're going through, what you're facing, there's no need to doubt Him now. Amen? Let me hurry. Let me get to the point. One of my favorite Bible personalities is John the Baptist. I don't get too crazy with his name, but I'm glad that he wasn't ashamed of it. Amen? John the Baptist was an Old Testament and New Testament gulf spanner. He was a man fashioned like an Old Testament prophet. From the womb, he was filled with the Holy Spirit of God. He worshiped before he was even born. You think about that. He worshiped before he was even born. Think about that. The Bible says that he was a man sent from God. God ordained John to be the forerunner of Christ. He was a man that called Israel to repentance. John the Baptist was peculiar. John the Baptist was peculiar in his calling. John the Baptist is a witness. He's a voice in his day. He's a New Testament Elijah, if you will. Jesus said, when you think about John the Baptist, he said, there's no man born among women that is greater than this man. John was a man's man. John the Baptist came preaching. He preached of wrath to come. He took the acts of truth to the root of compromise. John the Baptist called his generation, he called him a generation of vipers. That probably wouldn't go over too well in this day and time. I like John. I like him. He was zealous. He was active. He was a fireball. Had great faith in God. God used John to decrease himself and to lift up Jesus Christ. In fact, it was John that got to announce to the world for the very first time that Jesus was the Lamb of God that came to take away the sins of the world. His heart was so full of faith in God. He preached with faith in God. He witnessed with faith in God. He prayed with faith in God. His faith gave him boldness and zeal to stand firm on what he believed. He was courageous. He's full of faith. Can I say he's a good case study for someone that when you put your faith in God, that he delights in you when you follow him and that he'll provide for your life. I love to read about him. I love John the Baptist. When we come to our text here, John's in prison. Old John, he couldn't bite his tongue and quit preaching against sin. He couldn't do it. There's a scandal going on in the palace, and we know most about what's going on, but here it is. Herod had gone and taking his sister-in-law to be his wife. They're now living together in the palace. And though some could accept what was going on, I like what John did. He couldn't accept the sin that was going on around him. Maybe John could bite his tongue and sheath his sword and just touch his mouth, but that's not what he did, church. It's not what he did. John was too called by God to not call out sin. Oh, John stands and he points that long finger and lays a finger on Herod's nose and said, it is not lawful for you to have that woman. You know, I thought about that. I wonder what America would be like if every so-called God preacher would stand in the pulpit and call sin like it is and say, shame on the devil, and lift up Jesus every Sunday morning when they preached. It'd be amazing what could happen in our churches. But John had great faith in God. But because of his great faith, church, he gets put in prison. Now John's in prison. Think of this now. He's not standing in the waist-deep waters of Jordan. He's not looking on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not preaching to crowds of disciples. He's alone. He's locked up. His schedule has changed. His freedom is gone. It's gone. His life has taken a turn that he did not anticipate. Can you imagine how hard that would be for a man like John? Think about that for a moment with me. He's used to preaching to big crowds. He's used to being a maverick. Used to being an encourager. He's used to having his freedom. I was reading through this in Luke 7. Every time I study this portion of the Bible or one of the parallel accounts, it convicts me of my own weakness. Because here I see a great man of faith who is simultaneously a man of great fear. Jesus has been raising people from the dead. Jesus has been healing the lame, been curing the sick. And the disciples of John have watched Jesus do all these things. And somehow they get access to John while he's in prison. And I can just see how they're stirred up about it. I mean, they're fired up. Imagine how you'd be if you've seen somebody raise somebody from the dead. I mean, they're having a funeral. Jesus calls them, they rise up. I'd be stirred up about it. But can I say it's easy to enjoy those things when chains aren't around your wrist and around your feet, you're not isolated in prison. It'd be easy to enjoy those things. They go, they run up to John, they say, "Hey, John, hey, Jesus has been doing this and so many other great things he's been doing." You'd think that John would want to preach, wouldn't you? You say, "Oh, yes, he is the Lamb of God. He is the King of glory. Thank God I'm on the winning side." That's not what John does. He looks at those men who he had converted. Think about that. John looks at those men who had converted, led them to the Lord. Listen to me. Said, "Fellas, I tell you what. Because of where I'm at in life, because of what I'm going through, because of my emotions, how I feel, I've got to ask you something. Can you go to Jesus? I need some clarification. I've got to know. Ask him if he is the one or is he not the one. Ask him if he is really the Messiah or is he not the Messiah." Listen to me now. Don't go taking it out on John. Don't go taking it out on him. He's still a great man of faith. Remember, Jesus said there's no man like John the Baptist. But can I say a great man of faith can also be a great man of doubt at the same time? Yes, it is the same man of great faith. Yes, it's the same man of great convictions. Yes, it is the same man of great zealousy. But his circumstances in life, church, caused him to doubt. He said, "Guys," he said, "go back to Jesus. Go back to him and ask him if he really is the Lamb of God and confirm that he is the Messiah. And just say, John really wants to know if you are who you say you are." Wait a minute. How's that possible? How's that possible? This is the guy, church, that told everybody else that he was the Son of God. What are you talking about? Where's the great man of faith at now? And not long before, John had told the world that that is Jesus. And now John finds himself in a place that he's never been before. John did not lose his faith in God. But he lost faith in God for a moment in what he was doing in his life. In the same heart, there was great faith and great doubt. Great faith and great fear in the same heart of that great man of faith. John is supposed to be the servant of the Lord. He's supposed to be the forerunner of the Messiah. God was not measuring up to John's expectations of what he thought that God should be doing in his life. And here's what happened. It caused him to doubt God. He'd not sin. He'd not compromise. He'd not forsaken God. But God did not meet John's expectations. He had faith in God. He lived it out. But John, who had great faith in God, had great uncertainty as well. Here's what I want to say. It's dangerous. It is dangerous when you and I allow the script to flip in our lives and we forget the fact that God is not here to do our bidding. That's hard preaching, I know. But we've been created for His purpose. His purpose. Church, doubt is 100% flesh. Faith is 100% spirit. But here's what often happens. When hurt comes into our life, it blossoms into doubt. When disappointment comes into our life, it begins to blossom into doubt. When confusion, shock, anger, heartache, and pain, let down, tragedy, all these things come into our heart, those things begin to blossom into doubt. Church, good circumstances does not make God God. You hearing me? Happy days do not make God God. Feeling blessed is not what makes God God. Having everything work out the way that we planned it does not make God God. God is God regardless. Amen? And God is good regardless. God was God when John was filled with the Holy Ghost. God was God when John worshiped in his mother's belly. He was God when John began to preach in the Judean wilderness. He was God when he ate locusts and wild honey. He was God when he baptized Jesus in the river. He said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." He was God when John was crying out against the sin in his day. He was God when he stood there before Herod. And let me say this evening, that God was still God when John was wrapped in those prison chains there in that prison cell. Church, the circumstances do not make God God or cease to make God God. God was God regardless of the circumstances. So let me apply it and I'll finish. Amen. I fear we preach of God in the wrong way, or at least I do. We put Jesus out there and it's kind of like the candy machine that you would see at the store. If you'd put the right amount of money in, you'd flip the lever, you'll get out what you want. But can I say that's not true? We exist for Him, church. Now that was easy preaching for John. It was easy preaching. But that's hard living for us. Hard living. I'm finishing up. Hang with me. But you may be here this evening and you feel like you're in John's shoes. I think we could probably all say that to some degree. We believe in God. Nothing will ever change that. Believing in God, but you're having a hard time believing in God for what He's doing in your life. Maybe you are wondering if God is in control or if His promises are true, or will He really make a way in my life? And then in our hearts, we have those two compatible forces, faith and doubt. And doubt always hits us, and it seems it always happens in those low points of life. But I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. God has always been faithful. God is faithful, and God will forever be faithful. And God being faithful is not contingent on us feeling like He is. God abideth faithful. There's no need to doubt Him, church. There's no need to doubt Him. Can I ask you this? On what grounds do we have to doubt Him? What grounds do we have to doubt God? I would ask you to take me to an example of where God has never been faithful in your life. You won't be able to do it. You won't be able to do it. We could stay here, church, from now until eternity, and not one of us can stand and say, "God's failed me." God never fails, church. And He never will fail. But failure or success is not the same as my wants, my desires. But can I say it's God's wants, God's desires. Can I say that my wants and my desires may not match up to what God's wants and His desires are? They may not match up. This is what Jesus said when He told His disciples. He said, "I want you to go back. Go back to John. Go back to him. But first, this is what I'm going to do." He said, "Let me heal a few people to remind them." He said, let me raise the dead just to remind him that I'm still the same one I've always been. I hadn't changed. He said, go back and tell him that I am he. Tell him what you saw. Tell him what you heard. Tell him what's going on. Then he said in verse 23, look at it. He said what? He said, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. He said, you tell John, don't you get bitter. Don't you get bitter over what I'm doing in your life. Church, listen to me. Don't get bitter over something that God may be doing in your life. That's a hard pill to swallow. Don't get bitter at God for what he may be doing in your life. Don't get mad at God for what he may be doing. I know we question. We're flesh. We're all flesh. I know that. We have a weakness there. But can I say, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in what God's doing in your life. What's the old hymn said? Great is thy faithfulness. O God my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Circumstances, they don't change God. Problems don't change God, church. Let me say this evening, God is not God contingent on what he is doing in your life. God is God because he is God. And if you can trust him with forever, if you can trust him with forever, then surely, surely, church, we can trust him right now. Surely we can trust him now. If God can get you to it, he can get you through it. If God can get you to it, he can get you through it. Here's my message. There's no need to doubt him now, church. There's no need to doubt him now. He's not giving us a cause or a reason. We just need to go in faith. Go in faith. God is good regardless, church. Come what may, just simply trust him. Just trust him. There's no need to doubt him. There's no need to doubt him. Amen. Brother Revis, I'm done. I pray that something was said would be a help to you this evening. There's no need to doubt him, church. No need to doubt him. Father, I love you. Thank you for Jesus. I'm glad I can trust you. Glad I can trust you. God, help us in those areas of our life where our weaknesses are. Help us to trust you in those dark times of life, in those troubled times and trials and dark storms. Father, we love you. Thank you for these good people here. We pray that you bless them and help them. Jesus.